بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We had explained before there are approximately five categories of disbelief. One is called takzib, to outrightly reject something. كذبت قبلهم قوم نوح المرسلين كذبت عاد المرسلين. You hear something of the Quran, of the Hadith, and you bluntly reject it. You know, I don't believe in these things. So that is one level. Iman, Ra'asul Amr al-Iman, the very basis of entire Islam is the Iman. It's a base. You can't imagine a building standing without a base. Can you imagine a building without a base? So there must be a base for the building to stand. So Islam can only stand if there is a base, and that base has to be taken care of. Anything that is coming against the base, then we need to be very, very, very careful about it. So this rejecting can come about in different ways. One is to flatly refuse, reject. But the other way of rejecting is to be too casual about it, too casual, to make a ridicule or mockery about it. That's also a way of rejecting. So rejecting, one is open rejecting and one is rejecting, but in a different way, in a mockery, in a ridicule, laughing about it, right? So that's also a type of rejecting. Imagine if your father tells you something and you don't pay attention, you're just laughing him out. How does he feel? The judge is passing sentence, he's laughing him out. How does he feel? He can charge you for contempt, right? Contempt of court. So similarly with Iman, anything about Iman, you have to take it seriously. One is a person who doesn't practice it, he's sinful, but he has not come out of the fold. But one is a person who's too casual, he's ridiculing, poking fun, showing no respect. So that person is quite serious. One person spoke about the sunnah. And he said, this is just a sunnah. This is just a sunnah. Right. So the alim that was sitting around, he says, you are saying it's a sunnah. That is right, that it is a sunnah. But the tone that you're speaking in is a tone of disbelief. Just a sunnah. Istighfaf. Many a times in the month of Ramadan, then you have people poking fun, ridiculing. Well, fasting, what's the need to fast? You got food at home, so many, the wardrobes are full of food, what's the need to fast? I'm following a healthy diet pattern, what's the need to fast? So you see, he's rejecting, but in a different way. So he's not openly rejecting, but in a discreet way, he's rejecting. What's the need to fast? I'm healthy enough. I've got enough food. So why was I abstain from food? So now, this tone that you're speaking, that tone is very dangerous. One is a person who is not fasting because of his own weakness, laziness, and one is the person that is speaking in this ridiculing manner. In the past, you had this Khulafa, Islamic leaders, right? Right? Many of them may have fallen into some mistakes, but in this regard, they were very particular. Iman, don't play around. One person came up to Harun al-Rashid and he says, there are a lot of repetitions in the Quran Sharif. Sometimes you get a surah and there's a verse that is repeated, like Fabi ayyi ala rabbikuma tukadhiban, repeated about over 30 times. So what is the need for these repetitions? So Harun al-Rashid was very disturbed. Although he was a very tolerant, very composed, very understanding person, but now when it came to Iman, this Quran Sharif, this person is asking the reason as though he is challenging Allah Ta'ala. Like Allah Ta'ala didn't know what he was doing. So he said, all right, let's come here, I just want to summon you. He called the executioner, said, see, there are a lot of body parts here that are repeated. So all the repetitions, just cut it off. So, aise logo ke liye aise hi saza munasib hai. Such people, so you sort him, one person out, and you sort him out for good. Automatically, the whole world will know what is the reason for repetition. Now they won't ask. Because jab jaan ke upar lagta hai, so he knows now. Until it doesn't relate to you, it doesn't connect to you directly, then you're casual about it. But now when it connects, no, I need the second hand, I need the second leg, I need the second eye, I need the other ear. But when, and you're talking of repetition, so you got 31 teeth or 32 teeth, so take out all. Just one, leave you with one. Kam chal sakta hai bhai? Manage. So when it comes to you, then you understand, alright, Allah created all the things, there's a purpose, there's a reason. Some things we do understand straight away, and some things we do understand after time. So you see this type of an approach. This approach is very dangerous, very dangerous. Ridiculing, poking fun, laughing at anything of Islam. Similarly, you get people now, they're talking about, they make a mockery of beards, right? So, say, now, what is this goatee about? What is this goatee about? Alright, you can't keep a beard. It's a different thing that you can't keep a beard. Maybe it's your laziness, or maybe there's some other reason that you're not keeping the beard how you're supposed to be keeping it. But don't poke fun at it. Don't laugh at it. Don't ridicule. It's a sunnah. It's a way of Islam. It's a way of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In fact, the way of all the Anbiya Alayhim Salaam. What's the need to keep this type of a signboard? See? So, someone is saying, so this ridiculing approach, this is wrong. Okay. Now, in the discourses of Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, you hear this story quite often, that a person died in Makkah and his body is found in Paris. Right? Person died in Paris and body is found in Makkah Mukarramah. But you go and understand this whole story, what was the reason for this? So this person whose body was found in Paris, who died in Makkah and buried in Makkah, but body found in Paris. So the story was, it's a lengthy story, but I'm just cutting the story, that his wife says that he was a pious person, he should perform his namaz, but he would say, you know, Christianity is such a good religion, that there is no such a thing like a compulsory bath after janabat. You know? Janabat, a ritual bath, is compulsory. Right? So he used to compare Christianity with Islam and say that in this regard, Christianity is better than Islam. As though Allah Pak Nauzubillah did not know what he was doing. See this challenging approach. Bring about this comparison. So the simple thing is just to accept. That's a simple thing. It's a short thing. It takes you straight with all your simplicity, all your modesty and humility. Just accept. Now, this is the actual meaning of Islam. هو سماكم المسلمين. You've been named Muslims. This title was a title of honor for all the Anbiya. Right? وَأُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Right? So this title was an honor that was given to only Anbiya alayhi salam. يَا بَنِيَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ. So, repeatedly they will say that we are Muslim. وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Ibrahim alayhi salam makes his dua. وَاجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ. So this honor was something exclusive to the Anbiya. Allah Ta'ala made it general for this Ummah. This whole Ummah, what was exclusive for the Anbiya, now this is a general feature for this Ummah. Now when this is the title of honor, then how can you strip yourself from this title of honor? The title of this honor requires that you just accept the things that you understand and the things that you don't understand, but you've established that it is a command of Allah Ta'ala, it's a way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's a way that has been approved in all these centuries. So then there's no need for you to go and question it, or like they say nowadays, reinvent the wheel. It's been proved from all the centuries of Islam right till this day. It has been proved. When it's been proved, now I accept it. I don't need any further elucidation. I don't need any further explanation. I'm accepting it. So this is one type of kufr. I explained this, alright? The second type of kufr and disbelief is istikbar. Aba wastakbar. Wajahadu biha wastaykanatha anfusum zulma wa uluwa. So, because of his haughtiness, his pride, his arrogance, then he couldn't just surrender, he couldn't just lower himself. He says, Ana khair. So he couldn't surrender himself. His haughtiness had the bit over him, his pride had the bit over him, he felt too much of himself. So he says, Ana khair. Again, see, it's a type of a challenge. Allah Pak is saying, by all of you now bow down. Malaika and Shaitan is with them. The time before he could become Shaitan, then he was Iblis. It was an honorary title, right? And now all of you, in the same one assembly, all of you bow down. So everybody, Fasajad al Malaika, all the Malaika, they, without any hesitation, they bow down straight away. This man, he says, but why? Why must I do it? See, this why approach, why? That why had the better way. And then that brought about the eternal disaster. This why brought about that eternal disaster. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says that Nabi Sam had recited Surah Al-Najm to a mixed crowd, mixed audience, Muslims, non-Muslims, everybody were there. And as he recited the surah, the whole crowd was overawed with the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. They were overawed. And they all fell down in prostration straight away. One person said, no, I don't need to do this. He scooped up a handful of sand and did this. He bowed down to that. And he says, Yakfini hadha, this is enough. So Ibn Mas'ud says, فَرَأَيْتُهُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ قُتِيلَ كَافِرًا. Then I saw him die as a kafir. See? So he was affected at the time, but he didn't want to show that I am affected. Everybody else, well, I'm different to the rest. See? I'm not party to this. I'm not a chip of the block. I'm something different. So you see, when you want to show that I am something different, I can't be doing what they're doing. They're just aping each other. You want to show that you are something different. Then what's the consequence afterwards? So this is called istighbar. And the one that started this whole thing off, this whole type of disbelief, is Iblis. From that point onwards now, he has been disgraced and his name is now Shaitan. See? Shaitan normally is a title given for evil, wrong. So you can have a Shaitan amongst man and amongst jinnat as well. Ja'alna li kulli rabiyyin shayateen al-insi wal-jinn. So they can be Shaitans amongst men and amongst jinnat. The only difference is the Shaitan amongst jinn, if you say la hawl, etc., I think goes away, right? But insan, you say 100 times la hawl, so it still remains. That's the difference. So this shaitan that's within man, many a time is more dangerous. We think all the time that the shaitan among jinnat is more dangerous. But in many situations, the shaitan that is within man, that's even more dangerous. Because he's a shaitan, and we know him to be a shaitan. And this person is acting like your friend. He's sitting next to you. You are watching him. You are talking to him. You are hosting him. Right? So you take him as your friend. Right? And then after some time, then it turns out that he's a shaitan. So all the time you had been taking him, treating him as a friend. And after time, then did you realize that this is not a friend, this is a foe, this is an enemy. But in the meanwhile, you're already in the soup. Now to come out of the soup becomes so difficult. So this is a wild example that comes to mind. It's quite common nowadays. See, with this modern trend, modern thinking, then you get this independent thought. I must be independent, I must do as I please. I mustn't be forced, I mustn't be told. So they have this type of an attitude. Many boys had that. And now the trend nowadays is even women have that. So the advice of Islam is, by you want to do anything major in your life, then consult your elders. You got your parents, you got your family elders, you got your community elders. Speak to your family, speak to your parents. This is what you intend, why you wish to do it. They may give you some appropriate advice. It's a case of marriage, then don't do it yourself. You just go, love at first sight. You saw the person, and you just jumped at it. That person may be a shaitan, whether it's a man or it's a woman, but you got yourself involved. And once you got yourself involved, now to reverse becomes very, 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 very difficult. Extremely difficult. There's so many cases, emails coming up, right? So no, I'm a man, I must make my own choices and my own decisions. And I mustn't be told, I mustn't be led in that direction. You haven't seen life, you haven't seen the other side, your experience is limited, you just got caught because of the looks and all that, and you went by that. So, you don't know what's going to come out from this scan. What's going to come out? It's possible that you take someone in marriage that will feed you with cans the rest of your life. Eat out of the can, out of it. Literally, right? You'll eat out of the can, out of that. And then you think to yourself, "Hey, but you know what? What a bargain I took on." So, Islam proposes very strongly, consult, speak. Your elders, your parents, your father, your uncles, your grandfather. So many people in your family that will think properly, correctly. You can't say all of them are outdated. I can think only of this, all are stupid. Maybe there's one person who's 5 cents short, but all are not short. It may be you are short. You are making them to be short. Perhaps it may be the other way around, that you are short. So you consult, ask, find out. So the man, he got married, didn't consult. So he, nowadays you'll get married either because of the looks or because of some material security. This woman looks secure, you know. So she'll also cooperate for all the pleasure and all the fun that I'm looking for. And they're getting married not for security, not for any other reason, but having some fun. You know, one is basics and one is fun. You can fly around, you can run around, this type of car, this type of holiday. There's a biking event carrying on in Cape Town, you can fly over there. And there's something carrying on here, we can fly over there. So this is the outlook towards marriage, this fun and excitement. The outlook of marriage in the past was different. It was that my iman will be safe, I can bring up some children, right? We can all cooperate in practicing deen, we can help each other. So the whole outlook towards marriage was different. That I live a life of modesty. If I don't marry, then I may become immodest, immoral. I'll get myself involved in illicit activity. That was the whole idea of marriage. But now it's just fun, excitement. So you're not looking at marriage from a different perspective. That you'll save your iman, security. So you get so many cases like this. You just look, just for the looks you got married. So the man gets married to an attorney, right? For the looks, or perhaps for the profession, you got her, now you say, big money, you know. Each client coming in 20,000, nailing him, her 50,000, 40,000, 30,000. So I'm quite secure. But you don't know that you may be also the client. You may also be her client. Like you say, she got so many other clients, you may be a client. Now you got married, and she gave you two children. And then she says, then you discover that she's got her own personal life. She got some boyfriends on the corner. She's got bad habits, taking some ganja, because ganja is legal now, South Africa. She's doing all these things here. Now you're thinking, hey, I need to bring up my children. This one here is stupid thing here, is taking ganja here. How can I run this home? And she's got some boyfriends on that side. So you talk to her about it. She said, well, I'll press for legal action. You do anything, I'll take legal action. And the law generally favors women. In all Western countries, they favor women. Now you're wondering, you got two lovely darlings, children you got here, and you got this one here. What do you do? How do you work it out? If you're going to do anything, you lose her, you lose the children. Custody, everything you lose. Now what must you do? See? But like I say, you just took that decision, you didn't think about it, didn't worry, didn't consult. You got your parents, uncles, senior people in your family, consult with them, ask them, your father's friends, a lot of people will find that will give you good advice. But no, I need to do it, I must do it, I need to do it, I must do it. Now after 5 years, then you discover the problem, now you come back, now how can they help you, how can they assist you? Okay. So unfortunately, this life is taking you like this. I was surprised, you know, the hadith says, Al-Ujlatu min ash-shaytan. This haste is from shaitan. But this Nike sign is also saying the same thing. The Nike sign, I don't know if you read it, it says that, it writes that, just do it. Read that. Portuguese, what they say? Sofash. Just do it. They write it also. Yeah, see that. That means it's a shaitanic message that is being put, that they want you to be brainwashed with. Brainwashed with shaitan. See that? Just do it. So a thought of kufr came to your mind, just do it. Thought of divorce came, just do it. Anything comes in your mind, just do it. We'll see about it later on. You got money, now just go and bust that thing. Bust it. Now what are you going to do for the whole month after that? You broke. See this shaitanic message. So our deen is telling us, think, understand, speak, see your seniors, go and talk to them all, then take the decision. Don't take these hasty decisions. Generally, ma nadima manistashar. Person who consults, he's got no regrets. He's composed, he understands, he finds out, and then he takes a decision. No problems. It's not just for the looks that you get married to a woman. It's a lot of other things. Just now, she'll become the mother of your children. If she's only worried about herself and her clothing, wearing, she's dressing up half naked all the time, your little children are going to see her in that condition, that state. What impression she's going to have? Well, she's going to have on them. How they will take the mother? She knows now she's motherhood is a responsibility. I've got children. What must I do? There's so many emails that come nowadays. The youngsters say 13, 14, 15 years of age. My mother was dressed, so scantily dressed. And I got tempted. I went and felt her backside. I went and felt her breast. Mother, you don't blame the child entirely. You blame the mother and the child. Both are guilty. Now the marriage is gone. Musaharat is gone. Now if she's going to live with her husband, then she's living in haram. But now who's the cause? The cause is woman. Now that you're married, you're a mother now. Your bedroom is a different life, different type of rules, all right, but to appeal to your husband, so long as it's not a clothing of mushrikeen, etc. It's a different thing. One person was telling me, there was some word that they use for this type of different outfits, women outfits. I can't remember the word now. So I said, what is this all about? The first time I heard it, it's about 10 years ago, first time I heard it. So I think it starts with an L. Huh? No. With an L. I can't remember the word now. So he said, no, they dress up just to appeal to the husband. So I said, what do you mean? He's wearing enough clothes now. So what else to appeal? I said, no. Sometimes they wear the maid's clothing. The maid's. So I felt very suspicious, very, very suspicious when I heard this. That means he's eyeing the maid all the time. Koi bharosa nahi uske. So now she must wear that. So that clothing will appeal to him. That he can then have a good time. See? That means his mind is really warped. See? So one is in the bedroom, all right, something decent, it's all right. But the moment she steps out, or the moment she's delivered a child, then she must realize that I am a responsible woman. I got a child. I need to see to the future of the child. I can't be self-centered. I can't be just for myself. I need to be for my child as well. So what values this child is going to learn? He's going to know all this nonsense he'll learn. Everything will be permissible for him. It's like how the Western world is going. Everything is permissible. Whatever the heart desires. That is Jannat, whatever the heart desires. Not this world here. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ. That's Jannat. This world, it's a different law. So this is the second level of kufr, and that kufr is called istighbar. Right? Then there is a third level of kufr. The third level of kufr is i'raz, right? وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَمَّا أُنذِرُوا مُعْرِدُونَ. They make errors. Talk to them about, they just not concerned. They ignore it. Truth is presented before them, and as the truth is presented, they just ignore. Not concerned. Worried about it. I let him do what he needs to do, and we'll do what we need to do. That is why Al-Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah says that now it's become like a fashionary thing that you're going anywhere and you've got the Quran Sharif playing, right? So he says, why you need to listen to the Quran Sharif, then for a short duration listen to it, but with all your heart, all your mind, and then you fear that you're not going to pay attention, then switch it off. Otherwise it's a resemblance with the kuffar. لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَالْغَوْ فِيهِ. Right? لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَالْغَوْ فِيهِ. One of the strategies that they use to turn people away from Islam and from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one of the strategies. So when the Quran Sharif is recited, then make a noise so that لَعَلَّكُمْ تَغْلِبُونَ, so they can't hear Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, your voice will be heard. Your voice will be ghalib, as you will be heard, the Quran won't be heard. So this is now, this is imitating them, being similar to them. Although you don't intend that, but outwardly aren't you having the same type of behavior? They're also talking, shouting whilst the Quran Sharif is being recited. You're also doing the same. Though your intentions are not like the intentions of the kafir, right? But now the Quran Sharif is being recited and you're just talking, ignoring, no concern, no respect. Right? So you see, the Quran Sharif requires some level of respect. It's being recited, whether direct or someone is playing a record or whatever else, give it the respect. إِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْسِتُوا. So the respect of the Quran is, listen to it attentively and remain silent. Listen and remain silent. So if you want to be blessed, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, you want to be blessed with the Quran Sharif, then this is the precondition. Precondition is silence and listen. Listen attentively and silence. And see, the Quran Sharif will have a magnificent effect on your heart. You know, you hear of that Russian Prime Minister, Gorbachev, right? So, there was some type of a conference, and at that time, Egypt and Russia were in good terms, right? So, Sadat had to go over to Russia. And Sadat's style was that wherever he would go, he would take along his Qari also. I suppose the Qari at that time was Qari Abdul Basit Abdul Samad. So, Qari Abdul Basit had accompanied Sadat, the Prime Minister, on this journey. And now, Gorbachev is an atheist. So he said, all right, he wants to do this, something of his religion, let him do it. It doesn't affect me, it doesn't concern me, but it will please my guest, so let it be. You know, every host is concerned, is considerate towards his guest. So as a consideration to the guest, it's his thing now, his religion thing, let him carry on. Let him have that honor of doing what he wants to do. Now, understand the background that Gorbachev is an atheist. He doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in religion, doesn't believe in akhir, nothing, absolutely nothing. He has nothing to do with Allah Ta'ala, nothing to do with Qiyamah, nothing to do with any Nabi, nothing to do with any revelation, absolutely nothing. So now, before they can commence with that conference now, and then this Abdul Basit is giving a recitation, right? And as he starts off the recitation, Gorbachev is uncontrollably crying. He's crying. Can't stop his tears. Now, he's wondering also, what is this? What's happening to me? See, the Quran Sharif has got a magnificent effect. It's the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not a creation. It's the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It must have that effect. So, the effect comes about when you show it the respect that it requires. And the minimum respect it requires, silence and listen attentively. فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْسِتُوا فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْسِتُوا. So you see this ignoring the word of Allah Ta'ala. Now I see in many homes, the elders will call their children, and children are not serious about it. The children are not. When they want, they will answer. When they don't want, they're not answering. So they have to be trained from now that as your elder calls, respond straight away. Show the seriousness, show the respect. Then tomorrow they'll respect Allah Ta'ala as well. They'll respect the Hadith as well. They'll respect the Quran as well. If it's a Mawlana that is talking about Deen, they'll respect. If someone has come to the door for it for gush, they will respect it because they were trained to respect an elder. But they are not trained to show respect to an elder. If he calls or he doesn't call, whether I answer him or I don't answer him, it's one of those things. So the child has to be disciplined to respond and to respond with respect. He's being called and respond. And just not respond, but respond with respect. Like in our language, if someone is calling, say, G, and you know you're going to come with a little bit of a delay coming, right? So you give the reason as well. G, I'm in the toilet, I'll just come in now, right? So they know that you're coming with a delay. Why are you coming with a delay? Because you are in the toilet. You have to wash up still now. You're halfway, making peace up, halfway, still have to wash up, etc. And then you'll come in. So they know the reason of the delay. But you said G, and you didn't give the reason, then it's part of, it's, you know, as though you're not concerned. You're concerned about the person. Or if you came after some interval, he called you, you came after 1 minute or 2 minutes, but you did not respond straight away. That also is showing some inconsideration. You're inconsiderate. It's your father, your mother, someone is calling, respond straight away. Understand? إِسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلْرَسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ. So if you know how to respect your elders, then you'll be able to respect Allah Ta'ala, respect His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When you lost the respect here, then gradually you'll lose the respect for Allah Ta'ala, lose the respect for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, everybody's respect will go. So the primary level, primary thing, so the child is trained to call and to answer and answer with respect. So if the mother or the father is calling, then with respect. G, I'm coming, I'm here, I'm in the toilet, I'll come just now. Or she called, say she called and you were outside the home. G, I'm outside, I'm coming, I'm on my way. So I'm on my way, I'm outside, I'm coming through. And a word of respect. The child will not say, oh, ha? No. Not ha, G. So that word G is a work of respect. See, like this, a lot of these titles, they add the word G with it, right? Umar, G. Saleh, G. Right? So why? That word of respect, right? So they add the G as a work of respect. Hazrat, G. Don't say that, Hazrat, G. So why? They could have just said Hazrat. So why they add that word G? The G is a word of respect. To show some type of respect. And the child is being initiated in respect. So if anybody sees the child, they also have a liking for the child. You know, the adab, look at this child. He's got so much of adab, consideration. He knows how to talk to his elders. But otherwise he's smart, but he doesn't know any adab. Now, that's an insult for that family. He's got his intelligence, but he doesn't know respect. He doesn't know what is respect. So from the childhood, he's shown respect. As he's calling his parents, it's with respect. Islam advocates that even the wife should show respect. If the hadith says, if I were to command anybody to prostrate to anybody, I would have commanded the wife to prostrate to the husband, what is showing? It was respect. Now they so lovey-doveys now. So they call by the first name, Ilyas, where are you going? Is it right or not right? Does it happen or does it happen? Calling you by the first name. They must call you with respect. See, in the Quran Sharif, this incident of Yusuf alayhi salam, وَأَلْفَيَا سَيِّدَهَا لَدَ الْبَابِ. So the Quran also is using, doesn't use the name Al-Faya Sayyidaha. Sayyid was the husband, but the word that was used, Sayyidaha. Al-Faya Sayyidaha. Up until recently, I would see a lot of women, if they have to talk about the husband, they won't use his name. It's like, Ibrahim na papa te vat kailava. I'll speak to Ibrahim's father. So they won't use the name. You see the respect. And this is an Arab custom. Abu Fulan, Abu Hamza, Abu Yusuf. But that was a respectable way. When you call the person, oh, Yusuf, Ismail, when are you going? So you don't talk to the husband. But now, when the home is initiated and trained in respect, then there will be an atmosphere of respect in that house. The child would talk to his elder with respect. And words of respect. Tamme ka jauch. Where are you going to? Après, quand where are we going to? So the child is also being trained up in respect now. You feel so nice, so warm in that home, respectable, warm. You get a feeling of satisfaction. But there's no respect. The intelligence already is in its place. But there's no respect. So what's the good to be in that home? The wife doesn't show respect. The child doesn't show respect. So what's the good in that home? Now that respect brings about such a magnificent change. The whole color, the ambience of that house changes. It's a little bit of respect. See that? So, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَمَّا أُنذِرُوا This is the problem in this day. Just ignore the person. Why must we pay attention? He's an entity, I'm an entity. He sees what he wants, and I will do what I want. So this respect is gone. You're talking to your father. Even the Quran Sharif says, وَخْفِدْ لَهُمَا جَنَحَ الذُّلِّ Lower your sides. لَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا Don't rebuke them. Speak to them in soft tones. Now, in so many words, the Quran says, وَخْفِدْ لَهُمَا Lower yourselves. Right? Don't raise your voice. Speak to them in words of respect. So many words. And even if that parent of yours is a non-Muslim, then too you will show that respect. It's a requirement, it's an adab, that you will show that respect even if your parents are non-Muslim, then too. Then if he's a Muslim, then how much more? The Quran is saying, the Hadith is saying, to the extent, not just the parent, but even the friend of the parent, wuddu abi, even the friend of your father, mother, you show respect. So you see that this third type, and the implications that go with it. You show respect and how it goes, and how the home is, and there's no respect. He's just one entity, I'm an entity, so why do I need to show this respect, additional respect? See, just with the respect that home moves so nicely, moves so smoothly, that the father knows, all right, this is the thing we need to do, right, we're going. So the child doesn't object, because he knows that if I got a father, I must respect, he understands more than I understand, and I need to consult with him, I mustn't do my own things. So it becomes automatic. The father said something, let's do it. The child will take him time to understand. He will not be able to understand at the level that the father understands in 99% of the cases. There may be one case where the child understands better than the father, but in most of the cases, the father understands better. Now the father will say, all right, it's a weekend, so we're going to meet your foy. Hey, you know, man, Abba, I need to go play soccer. So boring, I must go and meet, sit down there, have some cold drink, and we'll talk about granny stories. I have to go and play soccer. So in our day, it used to be, the father will just grab you by the hand, you were just coming with us. So now, you know that sila rahimi, showing respect, maintaining a good relationship with your family, uncle, aunt, all that, it's a requirement. It's not just an option. It's a requirement. You must do it. You're going to meet this foyer, you're going to meet this chacha there, you're going to meet this mama there, that kala that you're going to meet. So that's a requirement. Now, if the father knows it, he brings about his children with respect, then they know it. All right, this is my father, my uncle, my granny. And my father used to do this, that the weekend, we're going to meet them. If they were not too well off, then he would take some gifts for them. I need to do all these things here. The father is not worried about it. He said, no, let them play. Let them enjoy their lives. It's the child who let them enjoy their lives. So what they will grow up to be? They'll be monstrous afterwards. Then they coming at 1 o'clock in the night, the father is crying, my child is coming at 1 o'clock at night. But you train them up like this, now you are paying for the training that you gave, the intuition that you gave, now you're paying for it. He's coming at 1 o'clock in the night, knocking at the door, now you're going to see his face now. You don't want to see his face, you're feeling afraid now. I don't know what his state is going to be. But this is the consequence of what you had given. So he says, Amma undhiru mu'ridun, i'raz, ignoring. This is the sickness of the day. And there is another one, called nifaq, and other one also. What's the other one? Huh? Shakya. Which I will speak about it later on.